BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here's Tuesday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast as we're in for Grimmy this week on The Breakfast Show. There's another Real or No Real, the most epic episode of Come Dine With Me ever. And the number 4 act on the BBC Sound of 2016 list is revealed with Hugh Stevens. And if you missed it last week because you weren't working, highlights from an honest chat with Jennifer Lawrence. Scott Mills,
BBC Radio 1. This is
the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Scott Mills.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Adele. Have you made it to the gym yet? Seriously?
This year?
Yeah.
No. Half of last year, no.
I was texting the producer about 5 o'clock yesterday evening going, about to go to the gym, been putting it off for an hour. Everyone's doing this right now.
Mm.
And then I was almost persuaded to do a legs, bums and tums class by the trainer who was in there. He was like, come and join my class. I was like, what is it? Legs, bums and tums. I was like, there's no blokes in there. He's like, well, you could be the only one. I didn't go in the end. I made my own entertainment.
Which was?
Just went on a treadmill thing.
Oh.
That's what they're called, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cross trainer thing. I don't know.
Oi, Mills, I've got something that goes straight in your basket.
Go.
It's a video of Britney Spears stuck up a tree.
I've seen it. That brought me so much joy yesterday.
I've just seen it.
On a cold, dark January day. So a show in Las Vegas, which I went to see a year or so ago, but she gets stuck in a tree. Please have a look at that today. It'll brighten your Tuesday.
She's meant to float across the crowd, but what happens? She gets stuck and then this guy appears and has to try rescue her, and she just carries on dancing as if it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I'm just stuck in a tree, just dancing as normal. Also, I'm just flicking through pictures of Justin Bieber's cornrows this morning.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a new hair. Hayley Baldwin made him do it. Do you think I'd suit cornrows?
No.
Just crossing my mind. It's early, I know.
This is
the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Scott Mills.
Why not, though?
The Scott Mills Daily.
Grimmy's back on Monday, and this is Scott Mills on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. How are you feeling today? You made it through the most depressing day of the year, which everyone was telling me it was yesterday. So today, all good. 6:42. I don't know why I did that then.
Come on!
To celebrate, it's Tuesday. Ugh.
It's like you are about to break out some motivational, I don't know, speech or just rally everyone up. Where are you?
I can do some more from the gym if you want.
Nah, you're right.
You sure?
Yeah.
I don't sweat. I sparkle. There's another
one
for you.
Where are you
getting these from? The one thing I really can't stand and just really grinds me are inspirational quotes. Because who needs them? And the ones about exercise are the worst kind. So I just enjoy reading them out to you.
How did your day pan out yesterday after the breakfast show? What did you get up to? What's the day in the life of Scott Mills after the breakfast show?
Do you know, I didn't really do much yesterday because it's January. And I just find it hard to believe that a week ago, we were all just kind of sitting around, eating chocolates, watching TV. It's a bit of a shock to the system, isn't it?
I noticed Easter eggs are in certain shops now.
No, they're not.
Yep.
Oh, no. I watched quite a bit of TV, actually.
It was good yesterday.
Yeah, you watched the Prince Charles thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I did. I really liked it because it's good. It was good seeing Anton Deck do something different.
If you didn't see it, it was Anton Deck and Prince Charles.
Yeah, so Anton Deck got to spend a load of time with Prince Charles. He also got to spend time with Prince Harry and Prince William. And he got, like, really good access to them. It was a show all about the Prince's trust. So because of that, Prince Charles got really involved. At one point, Anton Deck even got to stay with Prince Charles in one of his places in Scotland.
No way.
Which was pretty cool to see.
I've only seen clips, and I've seen a lot about it online. Did Prince William do a little swear?
I kind of dipped in and out of it, possibly. Oh, yes, no, he did. Yes, he did.
They don't swear?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't... Yeah, he did do a swear, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Another clip I saw, Ant's forehead, right? Oh, I get so confused. aunt, right, was to Prince Charles was doing the royal handshake wrong. Now, you might want to look up protocol on this, but what you do, and Deck was doing it perfectly right, was that you just do the one small handshake to the Prince of Wales.
Curtsy.
No, no, it's not a curtsy. It's that's for the girls. It's just one handshake. What Ant was doing was putting his right hand out to do the handshake, but then bringing the left hand in to kind of hold the hands together.
A two-hander.
That's not right. That's not allowed.
No, and that will annoy you because things like that annoy you.
The only thing that I saw, about a couple of clips I saw, and one of them, he was kind of holding on for dear life with both hands to Prince Charles. Now, could you look that up for me, please? Because I don't think that's the correct protocol.
What am I looking at?
Just put meeting royal family.
I need to show you Prince Charles singing a song as well. Too funny.
Oh, wow. The Scott Mills Daily. Good morning, Sophie J, who says yes to 5 Seconds of Summer being the first song you played on The Breakfast Show this morning. First song I heard on my alarm when I woke up. Now I don't even care that it's the first day of school. Hello, if you are going to school for the first time today in 2016. I don't think me and Prince Charles could be friends because he mumbles too much. That's another thing that I gained from looking at these clips last night. Hello, Charles.
I do struggle with mumblers.
He is the, like, king, well, he will be king mumbler, though, isn't he?
There's a couple of people I know who, well, yeah, good point. But there's a couple of people I know mumble, and I've got into this real habit of, like, just shouting, what?
Do I mumble?
You don't know.
No. I speak clearly. But is a mumbler near us now, like in the small radius?
I can't say that.
Annoying, though, isn't it? What?
Speak up!
Hello, Laura. On her way to Manchester, who just was looking through loads of fitness apps yesterday because everyone's doing it, trying to just get fit for about a week and then forget about it. She saw a good quote yesterday, covered in sweat at the gym or covered in clothes on the beach.
I don't get it.
Because you don't want anyone to see your body, so you've just covered all your...
Yeah.
Good morning to Pete. And also Josie in Brighton, who says, thank you for playing Five Sauce. I'm the biggest fan of theirs in the universe. It's kind of made Tuesday more bearable. So after 7 this morning, Hugh Stevens is going to join us. Every single year, the BBC asks 100 music industry experts, people that really know what they're talking about, to vote for their favourite artists, brand new artists, and who they think should be the ones to watch for the new year. Now, over the years, the BBC Music Sound Of list has predicted some of the biggest careers in music, including Ellie Goulding, Adele, Sam Smith, Haim, and years and years. So Annie Mac and Hugh Stevens are joining us to announce this year's top five. So these are people that will be on your radar, pretty much, in 2016. Yesterday, Annie revealed that Muramasa, who's making quite interesting electronic music from Guernsey, is number 5, and also Western, who you'll know from the track Into. They were both tied in 5th position due to them getting exactly the same amount of votes. So Hugh Stevens is coming in after 7, and he's going to bring in the band or artist that is number 4 on this BBC Music Sound Of 2016 poll. He's striking a pose outside the studio right now.
You can see him now, but he's minus artist or band.
There's no band or artist at the moment, but he has got his hands on his hips. Go and find him, Hugh.
He's forgotten the artist.
He's forgotten. Forgotten them. It's okay, he's got a few minutes. Hugh's with us after 7.
Radio 1 and One Extra Stories.
What we're trying to do is reach 1 million hours.
I'm saying we go to one town,
Corby. Because if I can convince literally everyone in the town to do 16.6 hours each.
Corby, Chris is coming for you.
How many hours do you want to pledge?
16 hours.
I'll give us spare an hour.
7 hours. Okay. I can do 7 hours.
I'll put 3 hours.
We need to make ourselves loud.
I'm saying we go full on.
Good afternoon, swimmers.
Have you raised the 1 million hours of time yet?
I'm having a mare.
Volunteer Town on Radio 1 and One Extra Stories.
Available now
on BBC iPlayer.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Ant and Dec were on with Prince Charles on telly last night, and Ant was doing a two-handed handshake to Prince Charles, which I don't think is allowed.
No.
That is not protocol. You're supposed to just do a neck bow, whatever that means. What is that?
Well, if you want to be traditional, that is men are encouraged to do the neck bow.
A neck bow is just a nod, surely.
Yes.
Thank you.
Definitely not a double-handed handshake, though.
Your Majesty. Your Majesty. Prince Charles was singing last night.
Oh, this was wicked as well. So this random guy stood up in the middle of Dumfries House, which is one of his places, started singing a little ditty at Prince Charles, claiming that Dumfries House has talent. And right?
But I've just seen the clip. He's singing in his face.
Yeah, but I don't think Prince Charles knew the words, so he's mumbling along to try and I don't know, encourage the main bloke. Even Deck joins in the background when you see this video.
To a song that nobody knows the words to.
See, you know every song ever created. Let's see if you know it. I've got it here.
Britain's got talent. We would like to just find that Dumfries House has got talent this evening. Because His Royal Highness might just join in a little bit of a great Aberdeenshire song.
Oh, it's okay.
I bought it last in the
Sing along, everyone.
He's brightening Prince Charles's grill at this point.
Yeah, right. So this guy's singing, like, quite confidently in Prince Charles's face. Charles is pretending to know the words by going...
But he loves it.
BBC.
Radio 1.
You're right, I know most songs. I'd never heard of that one.
No.
But maybe if you're in Aberdeen show, you knew that and you were singing along to that this morning.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Also, don't ever call Prince Charles Majesty. That's just for the Queen.
Oh, you did that.
I know. Royal Highness. Just do what I did when I met Prince William a couple of years ago and just over-laugh at everything he said. And do you remember there's a picture of me and it's just really embarrassing?
Yeah, you got a dodgy picture because you know there's a cameraman that follows them around just so you get that picture.
What, like Peter Andre?
Meeting the royal. A little bit like that. And your one, it's a bad one for you.
I'm just laughing. Like, it's so funny. Didn't say anything funny. If you are feeling a little bit like you need a pickup this morning, just sing along with Prince Charles. This is from the Ant and Dex show last night.
Big tune.
Everyone knows the worst of this. Big tune.
There's money aboard each in the tune. The way you have to run the flow.
There are lots of people who are listening in Aberdeenshire that actually know the words to that.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Music. Sound of 2016.
So this Sound of 2016 list, we do it every single year. We have done since 2003. And the aim is to showcase the kind of most exciting and innovative rising stars in music. And it's actually a very good guide. A lot of music industry experts swear by this. We get over 100 of them together and they decide this list. All this week, we are announcing the top five on the BBC Sound Off 2016 list. And Hugh Stevens is here. Morning, Hugh.
Hi, Scott. Nice to see you sober.
Nice to see you sober. You all right?
Yeah, great. Thanks.
Good. So, what have you got for me? By the way, we should start by saying this is a really important list, isn't it, every year?
It really is. There's so much amazing music out there. And we've asked, as you said, about 100 music people to come together and to choose the acts that they think will do well this year. The ones that we need to listen out for. The ones who have records coming out, who will be playing live at the festivals, at the gigs. The ones who will be soundtracking our 2016, basically. So, no pressure.
I know.
And as you said, we've had some amazing music from it over the years. So, there's 15 artists this year. So, yesterday, Annie Mac announced on your show that it was Muramasa and Western at joint fifth position.
Yeah, they got the exact same amount of votes.
It's weird that.
Yeah.
First time that's ever happened.
They were happy though. They were happy with the tie.
Oh, good. I feel collaboration coming on.
Yeah.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it, if top five of the Sound Off all got together to do like a big single together. It's not going to happen. Should we do who's number four?
Oh. Oh, here we go.
So here we go then. We can exclusively reveal this morning on BBC Radio 1 that at number four in the BBC Music Sound of 2016 is Blossoms! Yes! Morning. Amazing band.
Morning, lads.
Morning.
Good morning.
He was like, Blossoms! All right.
I was waiting for the proper moment to speak.
Sorry, I thought we were on stage for a minute then.
I know she's going to tease it a bit more. Yeah.
As if by magic, Blossoms are live in the studio this morning. How are you all? All five members
are
here?
Wonderful.
Good. Wonderful, yeah. Wonderful. So, exciting times. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Number four on the Sound Off list.
It's great, isn't it?
What does this mean for a band like yourselves? A fairly new band as well.
Yeah. It's just one of them things when we got in the long list, it was kind of like, oh, imagine getting in the shortlist, and to be number four, we know it's a massive deal, and I think it's just setting us up for this year to be just a really, really good year for us.
Yeah, too. I can tell that you're ready as well. Everyone's, I think, you know, after Christmas and New Year, if you've got an amazing job like being in a band like Blossoms, you want to get going, you want to get on the road.
That's what I mean. There's only so many times you can have some chocolate eclairs out of one of the boxes you get. So yeah, we're ready to come in here and talk.
So you uploaded your music, didn't you, to the BBC Introducing Uploader? Because a lot of people are like, oh, well, does that actually work? Do people actually listen to it? But you did that in 2014.
Yeah.
And BBC Introducing in Manchester were big supporters, weren't they? They gave you your first kind of proper radio play.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of spiraled from there, really.
Yeah, well, they get you in and you do like a session, like some acoustic songs and have a chat. Then they get you in on one of their nights. And then obviously if people start taking to it, they can send you to like Texas like they did with us and a Maid of Ale session and stuff like that. And yeah, it just... We feel part of the Introducing timeline, so to speak. And
that's what I love about BBC Introducing, isn't it? Is that it gives you so many opportunities. You did the session at the world famous Maid of Ale. You played out in the States as well. And just seeing you grow as a live band as well over
the
last year.
We're just dead happy that we chose to go in that way. And then they've took to us. And obviously, it's endless, isn't it? You don't know where will we be next year.
Exactly. When you uploaded your music for the first time... Did you actually believe that you would be in this situation right now? Or, like, was it just a hopeful, was it a shot in the dark?
One of the things, like, I think it just seemed like the thing to do. You know, at the time, it seemed like that's the best idea to do is put it on there, because a lot of other people were saying it was the thing to do.
You don't really know what's in the future. Yeah. You're kind of just looking in them kind of things. You're just looking the next thing, like, let's get in on the station. Yeah. You're not thinking, we're going to get in on radio or be in the top four and all that. But... obviously them goals become bigger as the more you go along, so once you've done the session, like I said, it's like, right, we'd love a bit of that. And
I don't think we quite knew how big it would have been when we first uploaded it, though.
That's the beauty of it. You're such a brilliant band, and also Scott, one of the coolest bands around right now, because you might not know that Blossoms had the Christmas number one. Tom, would you like to explain?
We had a vinyl single chart. We was number one.
That is number one.
It's like Noddy Older.
Right, so we're going to play your track. By the way, is first exclusive play today on Radio 1, and it's track of the day, "At Most a Kiss" by Blossoms. It's Josh, Charlie, Tom, Miles, and Joe from Stockport. It's Blossoms, and they're number four on Sound of 2016. We'll chat more after "At Most a Kiss" on Radio 1.
And "At Most a Kiss", it's Radio 1's track of the day, which means it's on all day. Brand new single, first play on the radio. Congratulations, Blossom.
Did that feel good?
Yeah, it felt good.
Felt nice.
That single's brilliant. They're a number four in the BBC Music Sound of 2016. So, what's the plan this year, Tom and Joe? What are you doing next?
Taking over the world this year.
Yeah.
Right, I've just seen your list of gigs. It's extensive, isn't it?
Yeah, that's like in Feb, isn't it? Feb and March.
February. Well, the first one's on the 13th of January in the Netherlands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you knew that.
Wrap up warm. That's my advice. Wrap up warm. Yes. Also, online at the moment, Scott, you can see a video of Blossoms doing their thing in Stockport, and you've got an amazing. You've got a rehearsal room, haven't you?
Yeah, we have in a scaffolding yard. Charlie's granddad's scaffolding yard.
Wow, that's so cool. Do you have to pay him rent, or does he give it to you for free?
No, that's the beauty of it.
Oh yeah.
To be honest, we never mention it to him. I'm trying to get away with not doing it at the moment.
He doesn't even know that you go in there.
By day, it's a scaffolding yard where they come in and get all the gear and
scaffold,
the vans and set up, and then we come in by night.
That's amazing.
Like, what I like about you is you've said that, like, you don't want to be an underground band, you want to be as big as you can.
Yeah.
I quite like that.
Where's the fun in being underground? I don't know.
We
want to be everywhere.
But how many bands, Hugh, do you interview where they're like, yeah, we're not really bothered about chart success or it happens a lot.
It does, and it's nice to have a band
which is
ambition,
fine,
isn't it?
But I like that kind of, we want to be a massive band.
Yeah, well, the music I've been brought up on kind of has told me that, do you know what I mean? So I don't know.
Like what?
Well, all of us, I think, just bands like Oasis and Arctic Monkeys, it's like they were never they were just, their aim was just, there was no limit for them, do you know what I mean? So I don't get.
They didn't shy away from success, did they?
Yeah, exactly. They embraced it.
Stepped right into it.
Aiming big. That's exactly what I like.
It's good. Because as you say, Oasis, Beatles, but then also I've heard that you're all massive ABBA fans.
We are. Massive. Yeah.
Great pop music.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Josh is the biggest ABBA fan.
Look like an ABBA fan, Josh.
Josh there at the back. He'll walk away from this interview going, "Oh, all I said on Radio 1 was that I was an ABBA fan."
That's all he needs to say.
Nothing wrong with that. Blossoms are number 4 on the BBC Music Sound of 2016 list, and the best of luck for the next 12 months, lads. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Congratulations, Blossoms.
Congratulations. We'll announce number 3 tomorrow, and Hugh will see you not tomorrow because you're tag teaming it with Annie Mac.
Perfect.
So I'll see you on Thursday.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
You see, this is what it's all about. Louise has been on in Brighton saying, "I loved that song. I'm going to check them out some more now." Blossoms is the name of the band. Nadine says, "Proving once again that Stockport is the centre of the universe. Blossoms band, smash it."
I really like them.
Yeah, I really like them.
And also, do you know what? I'm not afraid to admit it, and they can hear this. I hadn't heard that song before. It's awesome.
Yeah. And that's what happens, see? They put their music on. They only formed in late 2013, put their music on BBC introducing website. People listened to it. BBC in Manchester got hold of it. They did a session for them. And then they're at Radio 1 this morning. They're number four, on the BBC Sound of 2016 poll. Mr. Peeps on Twitter says, "New track is bang on. Nice one, lads." And also Will's been on saying, "They sound like a cross between Muse and Catfish. I love them." Blossoms, number 4 on the Sound of 2016 poll.
Give it to me.
Annie Mac will be here tomorrow giving us number 3. And then Hugh with number 2 on Thursday. And then Annie and Hugh with number 1 on Friday.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Good morning. This is the Radio and Breakfast Show with Scott Mills. Grimmy is back on Monday. That was Tiny Temper and Jess Glynn. Steve Holden, tell me everything that's going on.
Okay, quick reminder that Blossoms were number 4 in this year's Sound of 2016 list. Videos and bios of all the acts who are nominated this year are at bbc.co.uk/soundof2016. Yeah, that's them.
That's 1 second of their song there.
It's very nice.
Sounds a bit like a jingle when you do it like that.
BBC Radio Leicester. Right, so awards season is happening.
Yeah.
And it's the National Television Awards, right?
Yeah, they've been going for years. It's the one where Ant and Dec win every single year since the dawn of time. All the usuals are nominated. Corey versus EastEnders for serial drama, not soap. X Factor, Strictly for talent show. My favourite category, drama performance, which is a good one because that's the one that's got Saran Jones from Dr. Foster.
Amazing.
And Aidan Turner in Poldark. Sheridan Smith's up for it and David Tennant for Broadchurch. So I think that's quite highly contested, fair to say. Also, congratulations to Ryland Clark, nominated for Best TV Presenter, opposite Anton Deck, Mel and Sue from The Bake Off, and Graham Norton.
Do you know, Ryland is actually quite a good television presenter, isn't he?
He's really blossomed, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, to start with, not great, but I think he's really good on that show now.
Totally.
Do you think he got better when the teeth improved? Is that what it is?
No, I don't think
it's
down. I don't think it's down to the teeth. It's the fact that he can now look at cameras and talk to them.
Right.
It's really good.
He can present.
No, and he's. I think he's actually really good with, you know, when they do the show with the public. That's his show, right? The Big Mouth.
Oh yeah, he's great at that.
Yeah, he's like, because that's quite a hard show to manage, really, because you've got loads of slightly weird Big Brother obsessives in a room together who all want to have their say, and he manages it really well.
He does pretty well. I'm sure you two will be divided as well, but Pointless and The Chase are going head to head for Best Daytime, and I know you love
don't make
both.
Me choose. I can't. Oh. I can't choose it. Anyway. I can't.
You've been on both of them. So.
I know, and my episode of The Chase is in a couple of weeks.
I love The Chase.
It's great.
It's so much fun.
I love Pointless. We went on Pointless and we made a good show of ourselves on that.
We did.
But The Chase is brilliant.
Yeah, that's coming up. So after 13 years, American Idol is ending. Is anyone still watching that?
Probably not. Fair to say its ratings have fallen quite a bit, but it is still a big show in the US. I mean, it still gets a lot of press. And the current judges are Jennifer Lopez, Keith Urban and Harry Connick Jr. So to help publicise its latest series, its final series, the E! Network got someone to audition who they thought will be quite big.
My name is Kanye from the south side of Chicago.
What do you do there, Kanye?
Originally a producer, I always wanted to rap and nobody really believed in me.
So are you nervous?
I'm not nervous because I do really believe in him.
Yeah.
I hope they really believe in him.
It could go either way.
Basically, the host, Ryan Seacrest, got his mates Kanye West and Kim to turn up to audition, and he did Gold Digger. And he was actually pretty funny. And because it was filmed a few months ago, Kim is hugely pregnant. Like, she is gigantic.
I mean, cynical people would say they just did that for ratings.
Never. I mean, like...
It's not really auditioning.
Not at all. I mean, I've got a little clip of the audition. He did Gold Digger. Here we go.
Cutie Divine met her at a beauty salon with a baby Louis Vuitton under her underarm. She said, I could tell you rock. I could tell by your charm. For us girls, you gotta fly. I could tell by your charm and your...
And like on X Factor or American Idol, so Kim is like the proud wife who's standing there watching it on the TV screen.
She was saying that she can't rap herself and she's never been able to kind of support him musically, but she's there for him for everything else that he does.
Well, it's not on E! Network here, though, is it?
No, it's on
E4 Music Plus 2 or something. I saw a trailer like for it the other day. It's like, what channel's that?
It's good, but I mean, you wouldn't put him through based on that, would you?
No, absolutely not.
If you're being honest.
But he did go through, because he's Kanye
West.
You wouldn't.
Don't look at me like that.
On that rap?
If I turned up and did that, I would not be going through.
But you're not Kanye West. You don't have the history.
I suppose if you're saying you made the song, then there's an exemption.
Wow. Strong statement.
Yeah.
And we were talking yesterday about all the rich people going to the Caribbean and laughing in our faces.
Yeah, and you know that Kendall Jenner and Harry Styles are on this yacht.
Yes.
Well, the yacht has a name. Somebody on Twitter has christened it the Yacht of Despair and called it Nigel. And it's fair to say that Nigel is a yacht that is full of emotion because there's lots of pictures of Harry and Kendall on this yacht having a good time. Nigel calls him Harry Steels.
Harry Steels has just been on me?
Yes, exactly.
The yacht is on Twitter, right?
It's very innuendo bingo.
Get it.
He said, this is Nigel the yacht. I just wish he would hug me like that and apologise. Boating ain't easy. And then, at times, he's been quite rude about Harry, but when the break finished and Kendall and Harry had left, he goes, Harry is off the yacht. I am freed. Goodbye, cruel world. I can finally retire in peace.
Of course someone was going to make a Twitter account for the yacht.
It's very funny.
And I know you were into the Big Brother house yesterday.
Well, I went to a hotel in Elstree where I sat in a hotel room for the entire day. Yep. And basically the Big Brother contestants, the celebrity Big Brother contestants, came through one by one to talk to me. And I can't say who they are because I'd be told off if I said. But I'll all be revealed tomorrow because they're going into the house tonight. But it's fair to say one of them did not like me at all. Two others really don't like each other. And another one apologised for pestering Chris.
This
Chris here. Somebody apologised for pestering Chris. So
who's been pestering you, Chris?
I know.
Think back.
Male or female?
Female.
Oh. Also, just to break that awkward silence, I give a clue. I'm doing it for me, Nan. There's one of them. And
same one?
No.
No.
And someone that I already know is going in there that I already know some fantastic stories about.
Okay, I'm confused.
Mm-hmm. It's tonight on Channel 5.
Right, I do have good gossip, but I'll have to reveal it tomorrow.
Okay, good. Right, so you can tell us tomorrow, right?
I will, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Excellent. Thank you, Steve.
Cheers.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I hear that Come Dine With Me was pretty good last night.
Scott, it's one of the best things I've ever seen.
I saw you furiously tweeting about it.
The TV moment of 2016 has already happened. It was Come Dine With Me last night.
What, 4 days in?
A guy called Peter, the greatest contestant ever. He was an interesting character because throughout the whole show, he kept saying phrases like this.
My life is as generically ordinary as everybody else's. I just happen to have more nice clothes than most people.
Okay. Oh, no, he's already annoying.
One of those. So he's made, it's his night. The final night is his night. He's cooking all the food. It's in his house. And they get round to that discussion they always do on Come Dine With Me, where they discuss first impressions of each other. And then Pete offends another lady at the table with this comment.
I'm actually quite offended now. Jane, would you prefer it if someone said to you... Well, you behave like a fat troll and you didn't make much... How would it feel to you?
This is getting a bit personal.
No, I'm being serious here. How would you feel if you were sat at a dinner table and somebody started attacking you?
No!
Here's the thing, right? He's meant to be hosting this night.
Why is he doing this?
He's meant to be the one trying to impress everyone. So they're doing this discussion. They always do this kind of thing, come dine with me. It comes round to the scoring bit. Now, ironically, Jane, who he's offended there, actually scored him quite highly, considering she'd picked up a fair amount of abuse. And this guy genuinely thought he was going to come first place. He said his food was far superior. Imagine what happened next when the scores come out.
I see. I never like the results anyway. But does this need a cringe warning?
All I can say is, just grab anything around you to kind of hold on to and squeeze.
Okay. Hold on tight, everyone. Here we go. As the host, it's up to Peter to read out the results. This could be interesting.
So let's see who's won. In fourth place is me.
Oh. I don't know why you're shaking your head at me.
You won, Jane.
Oh, my God.
Enjoy the money. I hope it makes you very happy. Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jane. You ruined my night completely so you could have the money, but I hope now you spend it on getting some lessons in grace and decorum, because you have all the grace of a reversing dump truck without any tyres on.
Oh,
I don't get it.
Well, you wouldn't, let's be honest. There's nobody in there, love.
Oh!
So, Jane, take your money and get off my property.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, Lisa and Ken, who says, me and my friend Rebecca are travelling to New York today. I know you know everywhere, Scott, so advice of best things to do, I only booked it on Sunday. Just get yourself up the High Line, Top of the Rock Observation Deck, Central Park, you know what to do. Still amazes you that I know everywhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's your bizarre travel agent skills.
Adam in Andover has to watch this episode of Come Dine With Me. It's the best one ever. This guy is such a bad loser when he doesn't win.
So, Jane, take your money and get off my property.
BBC
Radio 1.
That's going on when I get home. Hello, Radio 1, who's this?
This is Stephen Wolverhampton.
Stephen Wolverhampton, how can I help you?
Yeah, just text in because I missed the Jennifer Lawrence interview last week and I need to hear it, please.
Do you love her?
Maybe only a little bit.
Do you love her, though?
Yeah, maybe.
Yes. Yeah, we had a really good chat. We talked about food award ceremonies. We talked about her friendship with Amy Schumer. There's loads of stuff in there. I don't normally do requests, especially not requests for interviews. You'd be lucky to get a song on Radio 1, to be honest. So you're asking for us to play it again because you missed it?
Basically, yes, because obviously in the Eddie Redmayne interview, you got posher and posher, and I'm desperate to hear whether you got more American as you spoke to her.
The thing is, Scott, you're like a chameleon. You kind of change depending on the environment around you.
Do you think?
Yeah, so you get posher with Eddie Redmayne.
I'm sure you're going to play the clips again to me now, aren't you?
Of course, yeah. I love that you wanted to impress him, and the way that you wanted to do that was to just try and be as posh as him.
It's not what you think you're projecting to the world, and it's exactly the same for actors.
I never thought a camcorder would get a mention in this interview. That's fantastic.
See?
Yeah, a little bit.
Posho?
Not posh.
This one was really posh.
Yeah, it sits in my living room.
Fantastic. Okay, I'm deleting those myself now.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
I'm willing to bet, and we didn't really talk about this at the time, but I bet you got more American with Jennifer Lawrence.
I totally do that after a while. Steve, is this true?
Well, I don't know. I didn't hear it. But, as with the Eddie Redmayne thing, you did get more posh.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to bet my life that you went more American with J-Law.
Yeah, more American and also more American girl as well. Like,
like, what do you, like, mean?
Yeah, like whatever,
like,
J-Law.
If you want the Jennifer Lawrence interview, though, because you missed it, it's on the Scott Mills Daily podcast.
Yeah, I normally would download it, but I just haven't got around to it all with Christmas away and everything.
Yeah, it's been busy times.
People blame Christmas and the festive period for absolutely everything. You've just blamed it for the fact that you couldn't download a podcast.
Yeah, you try your best. I like to download it and listen to it while I'm cleaning the house. It kind of pulls me through.
Each to their own.
Yes. I'll tell you what, for anyone that missed it last week because they weren't working, I'm going to actually replay a bit of the Jennifer Lawrence chat in a minute. Is that all right?
That's perfect.
Would that suit you?
That would suit me.
Fantastic.
Well.
Would you love that?
That would be fantastic.
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 Yeah. Okay, right. It'll be on in a minute, all right?
Okay, thank you.
And for everyone else that missed J-Law on the show last week, she was...
fantastic.
Thanks, Steve. It's on in a sec.
No problem, thank you.
I know you love her. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
If people could not make a habit of asking for this, though, others will be here a long time playing out everything that we've done before, especially interviews. The Scott Mills Daily. I'm enjoying Ollie Mears' holiday photos at the moment a lot. I think he's in the Caribbean, like all the famouses. Nice picture of him there on the beach. Picture of his hot dog legs there, soaking up the sun. You know when you've got hot dog legs, when you just see the legs. And there he is, necking a lovely lady there.
Maybe.
Well, okay, or just...
It's a grainy video.
Maybe whispering in her ear there.
Yeah, exactly.
Necking?
Exactly. Could have been whispering.
Heavy petting. It's 8:18 on the Radio and Breakfast show. He won't mind me saying that. He's, as he put it in his own words, a single Pringle looking to mingle, as he told us on the show late last year. But you're right, it could have just been a whisper in the air. This is The Breakfast Show with Scott Mills. So I met Jennifer Lawrence a couple of weeks ago. A load of people didn't hear this because they weren't working last week. Like Louise, who's the biggest J-Law fan. And also Reese and Abergavenny, who's a little bit in love with J-Law right now. And also Nick in Southampton, who didn't hear it. So for you, we talk about loads of things, including her new movie, Joy.
Joy is an inventor, an entrepreneur. She first invented the Miracle Mop. She went on to invent hundreds and hundreds of household items that we probably have in our house right now.
Including the skinny velvet coat hanger.
Oh my God. That
changed my life, that did.
Yes, same. And her steamer. And she, you know, she was a single mom of three and worked at Eastern Airlines, and she had this idea, and she became one of the world's greatest inventors and is still on QVC to this day.
Mm. She had a lot of setbacks, though, didn't she, early in life?
Yes. She was told no 1,000 times. She was told it was impossible. She had the patent taken from her. She went through... There were many times in her journey where it was just not going to happen.
Hmm. But then she comes up with an invention that she totally believes in, even though everybody else is kind of telling her no and there's lots of knockbacks, which is a mop. But it's not any old mop, is it, Jennifer?
It's the Miracle Mop.
That's right. It's the Miracle Mop. And can you tell me what makes this mop so much better than other mops I might be thinking of purchasing?
Well, with this mop, you don't have to wring it with your hands. This is the only mop on the market that you don't have to touch the disgusting mop head with your hand. Not only that, but the mop head is removable. You can put it in the washing machine and it will come out clean as new.
And made from a continuous loop of...
Of 300 feet of continuous cotton loop.
Continuous. When you were selling it to me as I watched the film on screen, I found myself really wanting one.
I'm surprised you don't have one.
I know. You'd think I would.
You have a sponge mop, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I need to change, don't I?
You can't get into the corners with a sponge mop.
And you can just pop it in the washing machine.
Yep.
Brilliant. Bradley Cooper plays the boss of QVC, the home shopping channel. Is it true that Bradley Cooper taught you how to mop on set?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't teach me how to mop.
Because you probably got that.
I was mopping.
Yeah.
I just wasn't very good at it.
Right.
And he was watching me. He's like, Jen, no, God, no. And then he showed me the proper way. Because he grew up with a Miracle Mop. His mom watched QVC all the time. They always had the QVC boxes.
So he knew how to use the Miracle Mop.
Yeah, I had an OCD mother. So she would always tell me, like, mop at this and vacuum. But then she would always end up doing it because she's OCD and can't live with it not being done. So he was a better mopper than me. So he showed me.
Have you picked up a mop since being on set?
No, I have not. I don't think I've picked up a mop in a legitimate way, probably since the first Hunger Games came out. And you wouldn't either.
You're so right, Jennifer. Like, what can you use? Because I can't picture, you know, when you have people that you see on television or in film, I can't picture in my head, like Hollywood stars, for example, being able to iron.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
We can't. I totally know what you mean, because I feel that way about other movie stars and other people.
Or knowing how to use a washing machine.
Yeah, I'm about to rent a house and the owner was walking me through the house and he kept being like, and then this is how you turn the dishwasher. I was like, I know how to turn a dishwasher on. This is how you do a washing machine. And you know how to clean out the dryer vent. And I was just like, I haven't been an actress my entire life. Like, I know how to clean out a damn dryer vent.
Yeah. You know what's going on. You'll be all over that.
I have to clean my house. I don't live in a hotel. I clean my home. I have a maid that comes and does the... the nitty-gritty, but... Yeah.
Joy is nominated for Best Motion Picture, and you're nominated for Best Actress in a Motion Picture at the Golden Globes. So congratulations for that.
Thank you.
We recently found out that when guests at an award ceremony go to the toilet, the award organisers, they get someone to sit in your seat.
Seat fillers, yeah.
To make the venue look full of people.
Yes, yes.
So you're watching it on TV,
yeah.
And you're not like, well, where's Jennifer Lawrence gone?
Yeah, yeah.
How does that work? Do you have to kind of put your hand up and ask for permission to go to the bathroom? Seriously?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
What,
they have like little handlers, little wild animal handlers that run around with headsets on. And if you have to go to the bathroom, it's like, it's an ordeal, which is always a problem for me because I'm not drinking tons of wine. You have to motion, say that you're getting up, then a seat filler comes. But then you always, like, if anybody ever caught it on camera, you'd look like such an ass. Yeah. It looks like you just come back and straight up kick someone out of their seat. Yeah.
And you've had another bottle of wine by then. You need to go again.
Yeah, exactly. Can this person actually walk me to the toilet instead of sitting in my seat?
At award ceremonies, they always have like menus that sound amazing. Oh. Are they not?
Oh, no. It's always horrible. I was talking about this last night. With fancy food, like when you go to these cocktail parties, and I sound like such a brat because it's like award season, I'm very grateful. Mm-hmm. But like when you're hungry and you're drinking and then they're like, this is a roasted date stuffed with cilantro and goat cheese. And I'm like, if you brought out chicken nuggets, everyone would be so happy. Yeah. You don't have to do this.
Yeah. Take your raspberry jus away.
Yeah.
And give me some chips.
I just always eat the bread basket so that I don't care by the time it gets to me what kind of Wolfgang Puck fancy, it doesn't even look like food thing arrives. I'm already full of bread and wine. I'm like, I'm good.
When you've won as many awards as you have, do you ever worry that one time you're going to get up there and just, I'm done, I've run out of things to say for this acceptance speech?
Well, that's already happened where I fell on my face and I forgot what to say. No, not that. I do worry. You don't have any control. You don't have any control over getting nominated. You don't have any control over winning. And there are times where you really, really don't want to win. And that there's a fear like, oh my God, like what if I win, everybody's going to hate me.
Why?
Well, for instance, when I was nominated for American Hustle and I watched Lupita's performance in 12 Years a Slave, I didn't want to win. As a cinema lover, I thought she deserved to win. And I had also just won the year before, so I thought that would be very bad for my career to win again. And, you know, this year with the Golden Globes, I'd much prefer my friend Amy to win.
Amy Schumer.
Because I thought her performance, her comedic, you know, performance stole the year. So there are times where I'm afraid I'm going to have to get up there and just be like, thanks, but sorry, cool. Everybody.
And then get Amy up.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be like, Amy, you can... Yeah. This is yours.
I'd never even thought of that before, of like a star like actually actively not wanting to win. You know?
Yeah, well, it's things that you can't say. I mean, I shouldn't say that because it makes me sound so ungrateful. It makes me sound like a real brat. But being nominated is such an honor. But yeah, there are times where, you know, I watch the movies of the year and I can be honest with myself and go, yeah, you don't deserve this one. I would never want to get up there if I felt like everybody was like, what's that?
We had Amy on my show a few months back, and she was telling us how you became friends. So do you have any more holidays planned?
Well, she's going to be in Chicago. We floated the idea of me going to Chicago, but I've already come to Chicago for her. So I'm kind of fighting for her to come to Kentucky. For me, you know, we'll make it work. We just have to balance it out. I can't keep coming to her every time.
Yeah, okay, so that's basically...
Do you hear that, Amy? It's your turn.
So those are just some of the highlights of my chat with Jennifer Lawrence. Love her. The full interview is on the Scott Mills Daily Podcast. It's all the best bits of our show without the music. Normal show, 1 till 4 in the afternoon. Scott Mills Daily Podcast. Get it for free from the Radio 1 website. The full J-Law chat's on there.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Good morning, Ash.
Hi, Scott.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Happy New Year. When do you stop saying that?
Yesterday.
Yeah, I think it needs to stop now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it all back to work for you then?
Yeah, I've been back to work sort of on and off a little bit here and there and working Christmas Day, and so I've sort of been poking in.
Ash, what's your job?
I'm a plumber.
You working Christmas Day?
Yeah, I was on the emergency call-out.
Did anyone call you?
Yeah, five calls, I think. I had five calls in the end.
Ooh. I had a plumbing issue last Christmas Day. I had to call them out.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, my roof was leaking.
That's not a plumbing issue.
Good point.
Surely the leak is.
Well, it's a roofing issue, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but it was, wasn't really coming from the roof. You don't need to know that. Anyway, shall we play Real or No Real?
Yeah, let's play.
Are you any good at it in the afternoons?
Sometimes.
Let's see how good you are against Chris today, all right?
All right, cool.
Pointless presenter Richard Osman spent the first days of 2016 hosting a chocolate bar World Cup on his Twitter feed.
So you'd have the normal football World Cup. Richard Osman's doing it with chocolate bars.
Okay, so I imagine the search was to find the ultimate chocolate bar, if this was a thing.
Yeah, and people voting for him.
Okay.
Do you think this is the kind of thing Richard Osman would do?
Yeah, I reckon so.
What's the best chocolate bar in the whole wide world?
It's got to be a Twix. Has to be
a
Twix.
No, that's where you're wrong.
Really?
No, who's going to vote for Twix?
What's yours then?
Good question.
Okay, mine isn't going to be a very popular choice.
Yours is going to be well old school.
No, it's not. Why has no one voted for Double Decker?
I knew you. Do you know what? I wish I'd said it. I knew you were going to say Double Decker.
Still available in every newsagent and petrol station in the land. Thank you.
I can't believe it.
Oh, what's yours then?
Mine?
Yeah.
Lion Bar.
It's not anyway, did Richard Osman offer Pointless spend the first days of 2016 doing a chocolate bar World Cup on Twitter? Chris?
I think this one is the kind of thing he would do, right? He's always on Twitter. I think this is real.
Ash?
I'm going to go real too.
That one is real.
Oh, there you go.
And due to the huge popularity of the event, he's announced he's going to do a crisp World Cup in Easter. So that's something to look forward to. The winner is Dairy Milk.
Was it?
The master of all the chocolate bars. And next.
Michael Bublé banked two-thirds of his earnings for 2015 in December alone.
It's true, you don't see him in the summer, do you?
No. Around out of Christmas, don't he, with his swing albums and...
Around November, he starts to appear on trailers on television, inviting you to watch his Christmas special, which is the same one year after year.
There's not much use for him the rest of the year, is there?
No, you just throw a dust sheet on him in January and then wake him up in November.
He gets mothballed.
Yeah, definitely.
I learnt that phrase the other day.
So did Bublé earn most of his earnings in December?
I think this is... It's got to be real, real.
Yeah, has to be real.
That one is no real.
Really?
But according to reports, he was in the top 50 of highest earning celebs of 2015, earning just over £30 million.
How?
Wow.
Must just be Christmas.
I don't think he's released anything else in the last year, so probably just the Christmas songs. And finally...
Mark Zuckerberg has designed a 3D printing app for Facebook in which you can share food with your friends.
Yeah, and didn't he announce yesterday that he's building some kind of robot butler or something?
Yes.
I think I like the sound of this. This is genius.
That's a bit weird.
No, not weird, genius. This is brilliant. This is great news. If it's real, this is awesome.
Just so how would it work?
Once upon a time, we were poking each other on Facebook. Now you can send someone a steak dinner. If I mean, trying to reason it out, I assume you send someone a spaghetti bolognese over Facebook. If they've got the right printer, it can then print it and they can eat it.
But you can't eat it because it's on a printer.
What about if they make it into, like, the little edible sugar things you put on cupcakes?
Yes, 3D, you're 3D. Right. There is that kind of edible paper you can get, isn't there? Because it goes on top of cakes sometimes.
Yeah, on top of cupcakes, and they do photos now, don't they, on cakes and birthday cakes.
Well, I'm not playing the game, so you decide between you, real or no real.
No real.
Just seems a bit too far-fetched for me, Scott. I'm going to go no real on this one.
That one is no real.
But as Chris said, he did announce yesterday that he wants to make an artificial intelligent butler, a robot butler, like Jarvis off of Iron Man.
Oh, I mean, that would be cool still.
Or a bit like Siri, maybe.
But let me get this right. There's no food that you can send over Facebook yet.
That's not happening.
It will happen one day, though.
Yeah.
One of my mates said that in 10 years' time, we'll be... robots will be our lovers. You know?
No, they won't, though.
So, like, if the people thing isn't working out, there'll be robots.
What, instead?
Well, like, probably as well as to start with.
All right, so you get a choice.
Yeah, like, here's my biggest advice to people out there. If you're looking for the future and a gap in the market, create a dating app that will link you with robots. That's the future right there. That's where the money is. Because one day you'll be able to date robots. No doubt about it.
But they said, right, there's films that they filmed in the 60s where we'd all have, like, flying cars and that by now, and robots would be controlling everything. That hasn't happened.
It's only a matter of time, Scott.
In 30 or 40 years' time, people will recall this ridiculous conversation from Radio 1 and they'll get out of the archive and play it.
Yeah,
and they'll laugh at you.
Look, people laughed at the idea.
No, but people will still be laughing at you.
They won't be laughing at me. The problem is, you think of robots as RD2. Shut up. You think of robots like that one of Star Wars, RDD.
What's his name there?
RDD. D2.
Yes, I'm enjoying R2. This.
You think of robots like R2-D2.
Yes, got there in the end.
I'm not saying that will be your lover, but I'm saying potentially one day robots will be... Okay.
And what will they look like? Will they look human-like?
They'll look like humans.
But actually be robots.
But they'll be hot as well.
Okay, excellent. Well, great for everyone then. At the end of that round of Real or No Real...
Oh, yeah, I got... I got 20, Ash got 20.
Fair and square draw there, Ash.
Fair and square draw, yeah.
All right, well, thanks very much for playing today.
That's all right, no worries, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Tomorrow, I think we're going to need it, a Bumbleo Wednesday, and Annie Mack with number 3 on the list of the BBC Music Sound of 2016. Scott Mills, BBC Radio.